Welcome to Summer at COTK. I'm excited about today's message. I think it's fitting for a lot of people and what we've been through in the last season, in the last few seasons, but excited about the summer. And especially this message, because I titled it, What Do We Do When We Want to Give Up? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been at the place where we want to quit. Even following God, there's seasons and times because of difficulty, resistance, the enemy attacking, where we get to the place where we just want to quit. We want to give up. So what should we do in those moments? And I hope that we can look at Numbers chapter 11 today and see what it is that we can do to get to the place that we know God ultimately has for us. So here's what we see. The nation of Israel has been delivered out of slavery. They've walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Moses raised up his staff. They walked through. The Egyptian army followed them and were out to destroy them and bring them back to Egypt if they could. And instead, it ended up being the death of the entire Egyptian army. There's this huge celebration. They're celebrating. And here we see in Numbers chapter 11, them progressing to the place that God has for them in the promised land. And yet something happens. Even though they've been delivered from slavery, even though God has revealed himself to them, even though he's leading them during the day, they're following this huge cloud that is the presence of God. And at night, there's this pillar of fire that is leading them, and they know that's the presence of God. They know that God's with them. They still get frustrated, and they still get to the place where they want to quit following him and go back to where they were. Man, lots of people are at the place where they just want to give up. They find themselves, we'll all find ourselves at some place like that at some time. So what do we do? Well, let's look at Numbers chapter 11. Here we go. It says, so the people began to complain about their hardship, and the Lord heard everything they said. Okay, a couple things. It's not always easy when we follow the Lord, but it's always worth it. The other thing is God hears everything that comes out of our mouth. In fact, he knows our thoughts. He knows what's going on in our head. But when it comes out of our mouth, we know it's come from the place of our heart. Because even Jesus said, from an overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says, then the Lord's anger blazed against them. He sent a fire to rage among them. And he destroyed some of the people on the outskirts of the camp. Why is this? Because like any daddy, he can't stand complaining. He hates it. Remember, he's the God who's delivered them, who's miraculously set them free out of bondage. They've seen miracle after miracle, and yet they're still complaining. Then the people screamed to Moses for help. And when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. And after that, the area was known as Taberah, which means the place of burning, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them there. Then, look at verse 4, the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. If you're at the place where you want to give up, here's how you know you're getting to that place: when you begin complaining. And who you hang out with is such a huge deal, because you will become like the people that you hang out with. And there's this foreign rabble, these hanger-ons that are with the people of Israel, and they start complaining. And then all of a sudden, the people of Israel begin to complain. There is such a principle here that it is a slow burn and a slow progress to get to the place where we want to give up. We can monitor where our heart is by the words that come out. And when we begin to complain, particularly when we are following the Lord, there is a problem. Our focus is off. Our heart is not right. It says, the people of Israel also began to complain. Here's what they said. Oh, for some meat, they exclaimed. We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are all gone. All we ever see is this manna. Wait, time out. Hold on. You're telling me that God was sustaining them with supernatural provision, and instead of looking at the manna that they've been given that is a source of sustenance that is from God himself, they begin to complain about what they don't have. When you take your focus off of what God has already given you and you begin to put it on what you don't have, let me just tell you, that is such a dangerous place. And they begin to complain, and they complain to Moses. Look at verse 10. It says, Moses heard all the families standing in the doorway of their tents, whining. And the Lord became extremely angry. Why? Because they were focusing on what they did had, not what God had done for them. This is a very, very common temptation that we are all susceptible to. Whatever you focus on is magnified. And if you focused on what you don't have, it becomes very, very difficult to see what you do and what God has already done. So focus on the good things, but they don't. And Moses was also very aggravated. So now Moses is frustrated because he's around people who complain. And Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated me, your servant, so harshly? Have mercy on me. What did I do to deserve the burden of all these people?" Remember, our call is always to people, and God will use you to bring others to a destiny that sometimes they can't see themselves. "Did I give birth to them? Did I bring all them into the world? Why did you tell me to carry them in my arms like a mother carries a nursing baby?" Remember, he's leading them to the promised land. "How can I carry them to the land that you swore to give to their ancestors? Where am I supposed to get meat for all these people? They keep whining to me saying, 'Give us meat.' I can't carry all these people by myself. The load is too heavy. If this is how you intend to treat me, go ahead and kill me." Well, Moses is quite the leader, right? "Just kill me. Do me a favor. Spare me this misery." Moses is having a breakdown as well. The whole nation, including their leader, has a perspective that just isn't right. You know, God had victoriously delivered them from slavery, delivered them from oppression, created a system by which they could know who he was. The tabernacle was functioning at this time. They were being led by his very presence with a physical, like they could see the cloud, they could see the pillar of fire, and yet they miss it. And instead of looking back on where God led them through the Red Sea, where God turned bitter water into something that they could drink, where God provided for them over and over, gave them manna every morning, instead of that, they're focusing on what they don't have. Instead of living in victory and joy, they're living in defeat because they're looking at the wrong thing. Here's the thing. The spirit of defeat, it clouds our ability to see things as they truly are. Are you living in defeat? How do you know? You complain. "I don't think I'm living in defeat." Are you complaining about what you don't have? At the expense of being unable to see what you really are blessed with. Because the spirit of defeat clouds our ability to see things as they really are. The other thing about the spirit of defeat, it distorts our ability to be able to hear the truth. Like, we can't hear the truth even when it's spoken by the, like, it's so hard, like, to hear the truth of, hey, this is what's happened. You've probably seen people where their perspective's off and you speak life and truth to them, but they can't get it. This is a spirit of defeat, and I hope that you're not operating in it. A spirit of defeat also, it hinders our ability to act in faith. In other words, we can't step into the God future that he has for us because we are so focused on the present, and we're living in the place of defeat because we're looking backwards at what we lost, not looking backwards at what God's done. So when we look at the present, all we see is the pain of what we've lost, even though it was shrouded in misery and oppression, and we cannot step into the God future. We can't act in faith because that spirit of defeat hinders us. Listen, when we focus on the problem, we will never see things from God's perspective. We won't be able to see his plan. We won't be able to see his provision. We won't be able to see his power. And I know that you want to walk in God's provision, that you want to know his plan for your life, and you want to live in his power. How do you do that? Well, bear with me. Here it is. Remember, Moses is so frustrated and aggravated. The people are complaining, "Oh my gosh, we're going to die out here. We have no meat. All we're eating is this manna, and we're tired of it. We want meat." And Moses gets frustrated. "God, why don't you just kill me? This is miserable. Am I their mama? Come on now, just put me out of my misery." And here's God's response to their complaining. They're living in the place of defeat, not victory. How do you get out of that place? Then the Lord said to Moses, the leader, "Gather before me 70 men who are recognized as elders and leaders of Israel. Bring them to the tabernacle to stand there with you." That was where the presence, the manifest presence of God was. "I will come down and talk to you there. I'll take some of the spirit that's on you, and I'll put the spirit upon them also. They will bear the burden of the people along with you so that you won't have to carry it alone." So that you won't have to carry it alone. Here's the first step. Like, we have to be willing to walk with other people and allow other people to the place where we are in our walk with God. This is what God's saying. Say to the people, here it is, you ready? Purify yourselves, for tomorrow you will have meat to eat. God's telling Moses, hey, go get 70 of the elders, bring them with you. And what I've done in you, I'm going to do in them. You need to bring people along with you, that what God's done in you, that he'll put them with that same thing that he's done in you. He'll put it in them if you gather people close. It says, purify and say to the people. So this is now Moses is now, he's going to go get the 70 elders and then he's going to speak to all of the people. This is what it is. Purify yourself, for tomorrow you'll have meat to eat. I want you to think about this from Moses' perspective. They're whining about meat. All they have is manna. And God tells him to, hey, get those 70 guys with you. And now you go to all the people and you tell them, purify yourself. Because tomorrow you're going to have meat. That's what God tells him. And the Lord heard when you cried, oh, for some meat. We were better off than Egypt. Look at what God is. God's still speaking. Now the Lord will give you meat and you will have to eat it. Won't be just for a day or two. Or for 5 or 10 or even 20. You'll eat it for a whole month until you gag and are sick of it. See, sometimes God will say, I'll give you what you want because he hears our prayers. For you've rejected the Lord. See, he's still not happy because their focus is off. You've rejected the Lord who's here among you and you've whined to him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Let me just say, as a father with 4 children, one of the most frustrating things in the world is whiny children. I think God feels that way as well. But Moses responded to the Lord. Now God says, hey, get everybody together, tell them, purify yourselves, tomorrow you're going to have meat. I heard you whining and complaining about meat. You're going to get it. You're going to get so much meat that you're sick of it. Moses' response is interesting. Moses responded to the Lord, there's 600,000 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you say, he's questioning the ability of God to do what he said he was going to do. I'll give them meat for a whole month. Even if we butchered all of our flocks and herds, how would that satisfy them? Even if we caught all of the fish in the sea, would that be enough? Actually, it would be. But Moses' perspective is so messed up, he can't see that. So now he's questioning the ability of God to do what he said he would do. And then the Lord says to Moses, has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true. How do we get out of the place where we want to give up? Here's what we have to do. 3 simple things. Number one, we have to trust God when it doesn't make sense. We have to trust God when it does not make sense. This did not make sense to Moses. Get the 70 elders, go to all the people and tell them, hey, tomorrow you're going to have meat. You're going to have it for a month. That's what God said. And Moses, he pushed back real hard. Like, there's no way, God. That can't happen. But he trusted God even when it didn't make sense. Listen to me. If you're in the place and you want to quit, you want to give up, trust God even though it seems crazy. Even though it doesn't make sense, trust God. Here's the second thing. You have to act in faith regardless of how you feel. Moses felt like it was crazy. He's like, God, there's no possible way. How are you going to do that? Like, even like if we caught all the fish in the sea, it wouldn't feed everybody. Even if we killed all of our livestock, it wouldn't feed everybody. How are you going to give them meat? But he trusted God even when it didn't make sense. And then look at the next verse, the very next verse in verse 24. It says, so Moses went out and reported the Lord's word to the people. Moses went out and reported the Lord's word to the people, even though he didn't understand it, even though it didn't make sense, he trusted God. That's the first thing. And the second thing is he acted. He stepped out in faith and did what God told him to do. If you want to get out of a place where you feel like you're just defeated and you just want to give up, trust God, even though it doesn't make sense, and then act on the last thing that he told you to do. It says, Moses went out and he reported the words to the Lord's people. And then here's the third thing. It says, he gathered the 70 elders and stationed them around the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to Moses. Then he gave the 70 elders the same spirit that was upon Moses. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But it didn't happen again. Here's the third thing. You need to take people on the journey with you. You may be saying, man, it's been hard. It's been really difficult. Imagine Moses and the nation of Israel. They didn't really know where they were going. All they had grown up in was, well, for the people, slavery. Moses grew up a prince, but the last 40 years he had been on the run because he was a murderer in Egypt, and he had been a shepherd, and now God told him to go back to Egypt, and he was going to use him to deliver the people. It all happened. It was supernatural. It was crazy. It was wild. The sea parted. The bitter waters turned from salt to sweet so they could, to fresh water so they could drink them. God provided food for them. He provided so much for them, and yet Moses and all of the people found themselves at the place where they wanted to give up. Because one person in Moses trusted God, even though it was difficult. When Moses stepped out in faith and he delivered the word of the Lord, and then he gathered those elders, the leaders, those co-leaders with him, he brought them close, and what God did in Moses, he did in them too. And it shifted everything. What's the result when we trust God when it doesn't make sense, when we step out in faith and we act, even though we don't feel like we're stepping out in faith, despite how we feel? When we bring people with us on that journey, we don't try and do the faith journey alone. God has people around you to support you. He's waiting for you to listen to his voice and say, take those people and bring them in. Let them know what's going on. And the thing that I'm doing in you, I'm going to do in them. And they're going to speak my word just like I know you can. And the moment that you begin to step out and trust him and act and speak his word, those people that you've brought close, he'll do the same thing in you. And here's the result. Here it is. You ready? It's in verse 31. Now the Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall all around the camp. For miles in every direction there were quail flying about 3 feet above the ground. So the people went out and caught quail all that day and through the night and all the next day, and no one gathered less than 50 bushels. In other words, everybody got more quail than they could carry. Enough to sustain each person for over a month. What happens when you trust God in the time where it doesn't make sense and you step out and you act in faith even though you don't feel like you can do it? When you bring people close and you walk in obedience, what happens? Supernatural, miraculous provision. What's the moral of this story? When you want to quit, trust God, step out in faith, and walk with people. But here's where I'm going to end, because I think it's key. You know you're in a bad place when you start complaining. I know as a father, boy, I can deal with a lot, but whiny kids who've forgotten the good things that dad's done for them. You ever take your kids on vacation and they pitch a royal fit? You spent money, time, effort to bring them to a place that's amazing, and all they can say is, are we there yet? And go wacko on a 21-hour road trip. Maybe I've been there. It's frustrating. It's the immature Christian who looks at their current circumstances and forgets what God's brought them through, and they begin to complain. So here's what I'm going to say. Stop complaining. Stop focusing on your lack and start seeking God. Listen for his whisper. Go back and recount the times where he's met you and watch what happens in your heart. There's a shift that'll begin to take place. And again, you will see his supernatural provision taking you to the place that he's promised for you. And maybe you're here and you've actually never had that. Like you go, I can look back to. Well, let me just say that God's probably dealing with you right now, and he's waiting for you to trust him with everything. God has a place for you, and he's called you to be a part of his people. He's called you his child. He's already forgiven you. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price for your sin, and in that moment, There was freedom and forgiveness, and he's waiting for you to accept it. Maybe if you're listening to my voice and you're far from the Lord, and he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, open up your heart to me. I know you. I love you. I've already forgiven you. I'm just waiting for you to come home. If that's you, all you have to do, it's really simple. It's as simple as A, B, C. A, acknowledge that you're far from God and it's your sin that's separating you. B, believe that he's already forgiven you, that Jesus died to break the curse of sin in your life. A lot of people will believe those two things, but here's where the rubber meets the road. It's in C, confessing, saying with more than just words, with your heart, Jesus, my life is yours. Maybe that's you. And if that's you, I want to pray with you as you surrender to the Lord. So Father, I just pray for those that are listening right now. And if that's you, just pray with me. Say, dear Lord, I surrender to you. I turn from my sin. I turn from my way. I know, Jesus, you died for me. And I'm giving you my life. I receive your forgiveness. And I'm turning everything over to you, knowing it's a brand new day. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was you, listen, so excited for you. Let us know what's going on. Click on the link in the chat box underneath. Fill out a connect card. I want to connect you with relationships and resources that can help you grow in your walk with God and connect you with people that really can help you and encourage you as you become what God's called you to be. Thank you for your time. Look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.